The House. It was early spring, and I was on my way to my house in Murialdo, Italy. I was excited. The remodel was finally finished. I had no idea it would take over 4 years. I didn't realize the amount of work it would take. The house was built around 1535, and everything practically had to be hand-fit together in the process. I left the bottom two floors much the same. I wanted the rock walls to show through the plaster in places. The third floor was the problem. That floor, we raised the roof 18 inches and added rooms. Getting everything to fit and look like it belonged was the work of a genuine artisan. Now it was finished, and mostly furnished. Just then, the fastened seatbelt light came on, and the flight attendants came through the cabin, picking up everyone's drinks. The landing was going to be a rough one. We were approaching the airport in Turin, our final destination. The plane was all over the sky like a cork in the ocean. The pilot was taking the aircraft through a bad weather front to land. All I was thinking was, I hope the pilot was experienced, and this was not his first flight out of training. Finally, we broke through the cloud cover at about 1,500 feet. I looked out the window and could see the ground. We were on the final approach. The crosswind was very strong, and it appeared at times we were landing sideways. All I could think of was some of those horrific landings on Facebook. The plane would drop 50 or more feet, then rise again. I wondered what would happen if it dropped 60 feet when 20 feet above the ground. I hung on to the armrest for dear life, as if that would steady the plane. In the last few seconds, the aircraft straightened, became stable, and we were on the ground to the cheers of everyone. Then the pilot made an announcement.
This is Captain Maria Ferrari. Welcome to Italy.
I was still shaking as I waited to collect my bags. My good friend Giuseppe was there to meet me and take me home. It was his brother Mauro whose company did the remodel on the house. By the time we arrived at the new home, the fear from the flight was replaced with excitement. I would fly to Italy from time to time to check on the progress of the house, but this is the first time I was seeing it completed. I was unpacking and putting away my clothes in the largest of the two bedrooms upstairs. Looking at the walls closely, I could not believe the bulges in the older walls and how out of plumb and square they were. It took the artistic talent of Mauro to add the new walls to the old to make it feel and look all together and correct. I was amazed. Unless I focused on an area, I would never notice. What a fantastic job. Everything was built by eye. I put up a bookshelf using a level, and it looked very crooked. I then lowered one side, and it looked level. I could not have been happier with how it all turned out. Enough for tonight. Time for a shower and some sleep. I awoke in the middle of the night and looked at my watch. It was 3 o'clock. I lay there still. Something, or someone, was moving around downstairs. The house has a lockbox with the house keys. I should have changed the code first thing, but didn't. I got up and slipped on my sweatpants, grabbed the hammer I had been using, and started for the stairs. I turned on the downstairs light and headed down. I got to the bottom and saw nothing. I checked the front door and all the windows. Everything was closed and locked. Going back upstairs to bed, I thought to myself, I must have been dreaming. The following day after breakfast, my cousin Maria came over. We were going shopping for bookcases.
Did you sleep well, Taylor?
Did she see the lights on in the middle of the night? I thought to myself. I slept well. We found what I wanted at IKEA and headed home. The rest of the day I spent putting the bookcases together and unpacking all my books. I was still feeling the effects of the jet lag and went to bed early. This time, I had a small pipe 2 feet long that I placed just under the bed. I was again awakened in the night. I looked at the desk clock. It was 3:30 a.m. I got out of bed, and just as I left the bedroom, I saw the downstairs light go off. I stepped back into my bedroom and retrieved my pipe. I turned on the downstairs light from the top of the stairs. I started down the stairs, slowly straining my senses for any kind of movement downstairs. I heard none. I cautiously searched the downstairs rooms. All windows and the front door were locked. I found nothing disturbed. I went back to bed. I laid in bed, trying to think through what just happened. I wasn't dreaming. It wasn't the effects of jet lag and a new house. Something woke me, and I did see the light go out. I could not go back to sleep. Finally, I got up and made coffee. At 7 o'clock, my phone buzzed. It was an email from my wife, Sherry. Checking on you. Call me on WhatsApp when you get a chance. I have made my plane reservations. Everything here will be done, and I will join you in Italy in 3 weeks. Love, Sherry. Sitting at the kitchen table, I set the phone down and took a sip of my coffee, thinking. Then I picked it up and dialed my friend John in America. Good morning, Taylor. I didn't expect to hear from you this soon. John and I went to high school together and have been friends ever since. John is a detective on the Santa Rosa Police Force, and I wanted to get his perspective on the last 2 nights. I wanted to get to the bottom of the previous 2 nights before the wife arrives. I described the events of the previous 2 nights and waited for John's response. After a long pause, John responded, "Sounds to me like someone is rattling your cage and wants you out of the house. Italians can be very superstitious. Most people assume others see the world the same way they do, with the same likes and fears. Sounds to me like someone has a key, comes in at night, turns on lights, etc., and when they hear you get up, leave, locking the front door behind them." I was thinking the same thing. Today I will mount a camera that views the front door and change the lock. If I can identify who, I will talk to them discreetly to let them know I am aware of who they are. Being the new and only American family in this small village, I wouldn't want to cause a big scene. I will treat it as a practical joke to let them save face. Thanks, John. Sometimes I just need to verbalize my thoughts to someone. Hope to see you and the family in Italy this summer. The wife is trying to clear a couple of weeks. I will let you know. We hung up, and I used my phone to search for the nearest electronics store. I found an Euronics store in Pavone, near Ivrea. Within an hour, I was back and mounting the camera. I mounted it outside, in the eaves of the house, with a view of the front door. It took all day to wire it into the internet. Just as I finished, a man arrived to change the front door lock. I was again awakened that night, with cabinets being opened and shut downstairs. I looked at my watch. It was 3 o'clock a.m. My phone was supposed to alert me when someone approached the front door. I said to myself, someone watched me install the camera and disabled it. I was up in a flash, grabbed my pipe, and headed downstairs. I was angry, and someone was going to pay. I got to the main floor and found the lights on, and no person to attack with my pipe. I went to the front door to see if I forgot to lock it. It was locked. I checked all the windows. All were locked. Lastly, I checked the camera using the app on my phone. The camera was working. I headed back to bed for another sleepless rest of the night to rethink the problem. In bed, of course, I started to think about the house being haunted. Ghosts and spirits are things I have never believed in. Growing up, I had heard stories and seen movies, but never gave it much thought. Giving myself some comfort, I thought, at least if it was a spirit, it stayed downstairs in the old part of the house and hasn't ventured upstairs where everything is new. Tomorrow, I will have a conversation with my cousin Maria. Maybe she can shed some light on things. I awoke to a beautiful and bright morning. After a quick shower and shave, I was out the door and on my way to Maria's. I wanted to catch her before her day started. I turned left on the cobblestone street to the corner, then right for about 100 yards to arrive at her locked front gate. She must have been watching out her window, because I heard it unlock electronically as I got to the gate. As I entered the yard, Maria stepped out onto her porch.
Ciao, Taylor.
Ciao, Maria.
Please come in and have a coffee.
Thank you. I walked up the stairs and went into the house.
Have a seat at the table. I will put the coffee on.
Maria started preparing the coffee and continued.
Are you all settled in?
Almost. I still have the small things to do, hang pictures, etc. I wanted to ask you about the history of the house. She set the coffee on the stove and opened a cabinet, taking out some cookies, giving her time to think about my statement. Walking over to the table and setting down the cookies, she responded,
It's an old house, about 500 years. But you know that.
Looking for her tell as she looked up, I said, Is it haunted? There it was, a look that spoke volumes. Before she could answer, the coffee finished, and she walked to the stove to retrieve it, giving her time to formulate an answer. She returned with 2 espressos and sat down.
People say it is. I have never believed it. That is why you got such a good deal on the house. The last family had great plans for the house, but only lived there a month. That was 30 years ago. Has something happened?
I took a sip of my coffee and then told her of my ordeal the last 3 nights. I finished and could tell she was in deep thought, considering something. Finally, she spoke.
There is maybe one thing you could try. You could talk to Signora Maschetti.
Who is she?
Many call her a witch because they say she can speak to the dead.
Maria, you still haven't told me the history of the house. What is the story as to why it may be haunted?
As history goes, the house was built by Lorenzo Greco, a knight who fought in the army of King Francis I at the Battle of Marignano near Milan. At some point, he came here to live with his wife and daughter after building the house. One night, in a drunken rage, he killed both his wife and daughter. When he realized what he had done, he hung himself from the top of the terrace. Unfortunately, the rope was a little too long, and he fell too far, picking up too much speed. At the end of the rope, instead of snapping his neck, it decapitated him. That was in 1540.
She paused, judging my reaction. Because of this story, people think the house is haunted, Maria?
I don't think it's haunted, Taylor. It's not a story. It is factual history. You came to me and asked what I thought was happening at night in your house.
We sat quietly for a while. Then I asked, Would you take me to meet Signora Maschetti?
No, she does not like me. She said I should have discouraged you from buying the house, and if I go, she will not talk to you.
I stood and thanked Maria for the coffee and advice. Which way to her house?
Go the way you came from your house. Pass your house and keep going until you come to a dirt road on the right. Then go up the road into the woods. After several 100 yards, you will come to a small cottage.
I left and started up the street. It wasn't too long before I came to the dirt road and headed into the woods. Once in the woods, the area was right out of a Grimm's fairy tale. At the end of the road was the cottage. I stepped up on the wooden porch, and the door opened. Standing in the doorway was Signora Maschetti. She was not who I expected. She was short, about 5 feet, neatly dressed in a blue cotton dress and black shoes. Her gray hair was in a tight bun, and she had an angelic face with piercing blue eyes. I guess I was expecting someone with a long warted nose and menacing eyes.
Buongiorno, signora. Parle inglese?
Yes, I do. How may I help you?
My name is Taylor Walsh, and I have just moved into the new house not far from here.
I know who you are. You bought the Lorenzo Greco house.
Yes. I was told you knew the history of the house, and I might talk to you about it. She paused a long time, thinking. Finally, she said,
Come in and sit with me.
I walked into the house and followed her. She led me into her living room and directed me to sit on a love seat. She sat in an oversized stuffed chair across the small room near the front window. It was from that chair she watched me come up the road. The area of the house I could see was spotless and well kept. The furniture was old, as was the house. It indeed wasn't what I had expected.
What is it you want to know, Mr. Walsh?
Signora, did you try and discourage the selling of the house to me?
Yes.
May I ask why? She leaned back and smiled.
I think you know why. That is why you are here, is it not?
This is one intelligent lady. She has been studying me since I turned onto the dirt road, assessing whether to trust me. I smiled. Yes, it is. I have had uninvited company at night. She smiled and nodded.
It is the daughter of Lorenzo Greco. She wants no one living in her house. Tell me everything that happened, in great detail.
I told her everything, and when I was done, she sat with her eyes closed, deep in thought. Finally, she spoke.
Nothing was thrown at you or broken against the wall?
No.
That is strange. Are you asking for my help?
Yes. She stood, signaling the meeting was over. I stood and thanked her for her time. She followed me to the front door, and as I walked out, she said,
I will come to your house tonight, just after dark, and the moon has risen.
With a nod, I thanked her again and left. I got home and checked my Living Earth app on my phone for the time of the moonrise. Tonight was the full moon, and it would begin to rise at dusk. I then Googled full moon and spirits and found the following quote by Mark Keyes. The full moon will cause an increased frequency of paranormal activity. I also read that a full moon lifts the veil between our world and the spiritual world. The afternoon dragged on. I could not believe the house was haunted, but at the same time, I agreed to have Signora Moschetti come to the house to help. But again, I was conflicted with my feelings. I sat out on the terrace with a whiskey and cigar, watching the sun set and the moon rise. It was finally dark, and the full moon hung high in the sky. I saw Signora Moschetti coming down the dark street in the moonlight. I got up and went to the front door to greet her. Buonasera, Signora Moschetti. Please come in.
Buonasera. Thank you.
Stepping into the house, she paused and looked around.
You have kept the house to the period.
Downstairs I have. I love that period of history. Upstairs is new.
The spirit never goes upstairs?
Not yet.
Good. Let's get started.
She looked around the first floor. Entering the kitchen, she sat at the kitchen table and said,
This will do.
She took from her bag some amulets and placed them on the table. Then she took out a candle, placed it on the table, and lit it.
Please turn off the lights and sit down.
I sat and watched as she placed both her hands on the table, palms down, and began to meditate. After a few minutes, she asked,
Please make your presence known.
The lights in the living room went on and off. I sat there mesmerized. After a few minutes, Signora Moschetti's head started nodding, and she said,
I understand.
She was having a conversation with the spirit. This went on for about 15 minutes. It was as if I was in the room with Signora Moschetti on the phone with someone. Then Signora Moschetti leaned back in the chair, tilting her head back, and rubbed her hands together.
Would you turn on the lights, please?
As I stood to turn them on, she started putting her things away.
I don't think you will have any more problems. In the past, owners had no respect for the house or its history. They hated it. because it was old. They would say it was damp and cold. One owner in the past was going to tear it down. She wanted me to tell you she likes that you respect the history of the house, and it brought it back to life, blending the old and new in a balanced way.
Signora Moschetti stood and started to leave. How do I repay you for your service, signora? She stopped at the door and turned.
You already have, Mr. Walsh. It gives me great pleasure to give that young girl's soul peace and rest. You should also feel good for your part.
Then she left. After, I felt a special closeness with the house. There were no more disturbances. Then, occasionally, something small would be moved to a new place. I never shared the experience with anyone, for fear of changing their feeling about the house. However, my wife would comment from time to time how she loved how the house felt alive.